Bibles out. If you brought a Bible, that's great. If you haven't, there's Bibles right in front of you. Grab a Bible and open it up to page 40. And if you haven't opened up a Bible in a long time, or maybe you've never opened up a Bible, that's awesome. Just turn to page 40. We don't assume that everybody here believes in what we're going to talk about or this passage that I want to show you in the Bible, but at the very least, you might find this interesting and you might learn something as well. So page 40, just hold that open. Thanksgiving, we can agree, is about making a list of all the things we're thankful for. At its most basic level, that's what we do, and it's so important for us to be intentional in listing things, because it's so easy to take stuff for granted, isn't it? Like, we're just surrounded by things, and as we make lists, we kind of sit there thinking, wow, I do have a lot in my life. I know people here this morning are going through difficult times. But you can still make a list. Like, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of storm, you can make a list and recognize that there are good things in your life. And if you're a person from a community that is faith-centered, you'll recognize that God is the source of those things. So you make a list, but then the second part of Thanksgiving is finding a way to share what you have. Like, in the spirit of Thanksgiving. Does that make sense? Like, look at how much I have. I'm just so grateful. Then you turn around and just find a way to share it. And it doesn't matter what faith system you live within. It doesn't matter what your tradition is. Even if you're not Christian, that just makes sense. It's like Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving. How many Thanksgiving sermons have you seen with that title? Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving. But that's what it is, and people get that. Now, for people who live within a Christian tradition, for people who model themselves after Jesus, when we count our blessings and name them one by one, do you remember that song? Count your blessings, name them one by one. No, it's okay. Sometimes she gets up and starts playing. I was just going to sing one line. As people who model themselves after Jesus, as we do that, count your blessings, name them one by one, there is a teaching, a truth that rises up to the top. And that's forms the core of our Thanksgiving if we are a people of faith. It hovers over the whole Bible, this teaching. The first couple chapters of Ecclesiastes, don't turn to this in your Bible, just keep it on page 40, but Ecclesiastes is around the middle of your Bible. The first two chapters in the first part of chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes is among the most depressing literature you will read anywhere. I work, I look after my kids, I had a wife, but she left me, and then she died. I have good friends, but they left. Life is meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. I strive for this, I strive for that. You read the first couple of chapters of Ecclesiastes, and it will blow you away how depressing it is. I love those chapters. Do you know why I love those chapters? Because they're so honest. They're so honest. I mean, everyone can relate to that feeling of life to just be meaningless and things just seem so random and we don't understand so much, and you just get to that point where it's just meaningless. But then, halfway down chapter 3, you read this some other time, it's worth your... Halfway down chapter 3 in Ecclesiastes, the writer says this: even in the midst of randomness and meaninglessness, here's something that I know. I know God is real, and I know that I am made in the image of God. Therefore, I am a child of God. I know that, therefore, I am heirs to everything that God is. I know that there is a presence that is always with me, even in the randomness of life. And I know that there will be a day when everything's going to come together, and I'm going to see face to face, even though now I see as in a foggy mirror. I know that. He says, this is one thing I know for certain. And this stuff rises up in the midst of the meaningless of our lives. And above everything else, if you're a person who models themselves after Jesus, above all the other things that you put on that list, your family, your friends, your peaceful community, the Leafs won last night, above all of that is this thing that just rises up to the top, and it just hovers over everything in the whole Bible, from Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation. I want to give you something that I want you to see as being the heart of our Thanksgiving. And I kind of touched on it with the kids. So page 40, do you have your finger there? Genesis 27, story of Jacob. This is a teaching that just is a part of all the characters in the Bible, hovers over everything. It's a refrain that rises to the top from the beginning to the end. In this story, Jacob cheats his brother Esau, and then has to go out and do some wilderness time because he hasn't been living the best life. And then he goes to his uncle Laban and steals his uncle's herds, and then he's chased into the wilderness again. So Jacob is not a perfect person. Chapter 28, page 44. Flip the page, page 44, verse 15. Here's the verse that I wanted to just put up. And this is the heart of Thanksgiving. You see that in the Bible you're holding, though? Verse 15. I am with you. I will watch over you. Wherever you go, I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And that verse is just one verse, but it hovers over the whole Bible. And Jesus believed in it. When Jesus went through his baptism, when he went through his wilderness, when he went through his time in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he knew his life was over, he believed, I am with you, I will watch over you wherever you go. And it's the heart of our Thanksgiving. And why stories in the Old Testament are so fascinating, so often we see this and we're thinking, okay, I get that God would be with some people, I get that. But I'm not those people. I make mistakes, and I'm not that, my faith is kind of fickle, and I do that. All the characters in the Old Testament are so far from perfect. Jacob was far, Moses was far, they're just so far from perfect. God makes this promise to all people. And it's the heart of our Thanksgiving. Now, it's not just that I am with you and will watch over you that we're thankful for. It's the what I have promised you that brings Thanksgiving to a whole other level. And this comes out in the story of Joseph. It's the what I have promised you that you might find surprising. I find this mind-blowing. It comes out of the story of Joseph. What I have promised you changes everything. It changes life as meaningless, meaningless, meaningless into something that says life has purpose. Exodus 2, page 89. Flip page 89. Subtitled, The Birth of Moses. What a story. The birth of Moses. If you want to see a good movie, go see The Prince of Egypt. It's an animated movie for kids. It tells in a beautiful way the story of the life of Moses. Moses was raised in Egypt, but then killed a man and was guilty of murder, so he had to flee Egypt, went to a faraway place called Midian, where he became a shepherd. Exodus 3, verse 11, over the page. Flip the page, chapter 3, bottom of the page. Do you see that? Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and free the Israelites? You've asked yourself that. God, you're asking me to do something. Do you have any idea of who I am? I'm not good at anything. Like Moses hated speaking in front of people. So whenever Moses had to say anything to people, he would get his brother Aaron to do it. But we're the same. You're telling me God wants me to do what? Do you know who I am? I'm not. Who am I that I should do that? And here's what God says, verse 12. Verse 12, do you see that there? It's the same he said to Jacob, I am with you. Page 110, flip. Page 110, chapter 15, page 110. This is the song of Moses and Miriam. This is a spectacular and amazing reading. Scholars teach us that this reading that is titled The Song of Moses and Miriam is the oldest text in the whole Bible. Just that song of Moses and Miriam. It's a praise song. It's a praise song. I wish I could have heard the melody of it. We don't have the melody of it. We have the lyrics that are right before you. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Because Israel had escaped Egypt, and then they went through the parted waters of the Red Sea with Moses before them, and then they found their way to freedom, and they knew the promised land was ahead of them, and they knew that I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. And I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. This hovers over everything. Every single character in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is umbrellaed by this one verse. And it's the heart of our Thanksgiving. And the books that follow, 1 and 2 Samuel, there are stories, beautiful, wonderful stories of King David and Solomon, and then Joshua, and then into the prophets of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. It's amazing stuff. And I will watch over you, hovers over everything. But it's the what I have promised you that brings Thanksgiving to a whole other level. What's the promise? Last flip. Back to page 60. If your finger is cramping up a bit, that means your finger is not in Bible reading shape. That's what that means. That's your fingers giving you away now if you're starting to cramp up a bit. Genesis 27, look at this, look. Genesis 37 to 45 is the story of Joseph. You're done your summer reading now, I get that. But this could be your fall reading. Invest an hour into reading the story of Joseph. It's just a spectacular story that tells you who God is, but tells you also who we are and who you are. Joseph's dreams. This is a classic. Now, I must confess that Joseph has been on my mind because a local theater group, a community theater group, the Clearview Community Theater, is doing a production of Joseph. It begins on Friday. So Joseph, I've been thinking a lot about, but I really encourage you to read this. At the end of the story, Genesis chapter 45, it is the most mind-blowing ending you can ever imagine. I mean, it really is. We're going to look at it. This is the what I have promised you part, and it's all about what we're truly thankful for, even beyond, I will always be with you and I will watch over you. So just keep that open there for a second. The story begins with the dream that Joseph had. And he gets a picture of himself in the future in a really, really good place. To have a dream of a good place for you in the future changes your life. I married a couple last month right here in this church. Just a wonderful young couple, and they were just talking about their future. They bought a house, they're fixing up, they're talking about having kids. Just their whole life. It's just before them, and they're just so happy about what the future. They have a dream for a good future, and if you have a dream for a good future in your life is transformed even today. It's just important to have a dream for a good future. So here's Joseph's dream. This is what Matthew read. Listen, people will bow down before me. Your sheaves of grain will bow down to mine. What he's sharing with his brothers. I had another dream, and this time, forget about your sheaves of grain. The whole universe is bowing down to me. And I'm going to explain this in a minute, because at this time, this seems like a dream that a narcissist would have, doesn't it? And it's no wonder the brothers are a little ticked at Joseph. It's no wonder they threw him in a hole and sold him into slavery. People bow down to you? We'll see about that. Here's the first truth that comes out of the story of Joseph, that God gives dreams. Like, God is a presence and a power that gives people dreams, not just Joseph. Like, we're not intended to read that story as though this is only going to happen to Joseph. God gives dreams to every single person here. What's your dream for your life? What's a vision that you have for your life? And respectfully, I don't want to hear anyone in this room say that you're too old to have a dream. And by the way, there is no story in the Bible, not a one, that records any character in the Bible ever retiring. There are stories in the Bible of people saying, I'd like to retire, and then God says, no. Because I happen to have a calling for you that will give a brand new start to your life. God gives dreams to everybody, including old people. God likes old people. Here's the thing. How do you know if the dream you have is a God dream? Like, if someone has a dream of being a famous singer, and every time they pick up a mic in a room full of people just scatter, it's probably not going to happen. Or if someone says they're going to be a doctor, and they have a 73% average out of grade 12, it's probably not going to happen. How do you know your dream's real? I had a dream of playing the NHL. But I was born, I mean, I had house league in my blood. And I just played house league, which was fine because it was a lot less stress and more fun. How do you know that your dream is from God? I'll just give you two things, simple. Two ways to know. Here's the first one. If that dream that you think you have in your life, if you're just sitting today and you're thinking about a vision you have for your life, if that dream, that vision for your life fits with the gifts that you have, if it somehow jives with the skills and the gifts that you have, some of those gifts you were born with, or talents, others that you learned, you acquired over the course of your life, you know what you're good at, and you know what you can do. If your dream fits with that, it could very well be a valid call from God. And if it doesn't fit with the stuff you naturally do, like, so ask yourself, what are the things that get me excited? What are the things that I'm passionate about? Here's how Paul puts it. Paul just puts it simply. We all have different gifts according to the grace given us. Sometimes when we describe someone as gifted, we think that it's a 1 in 1,000, oh, that person's gifted. You know, not many people are gifted, but that Paul's saying that everybody's got a gift. And then Paul, as he is wont to do, makes lists. All through Paul's letters, he's very fond of making lists. So he makes a list of the things that people can do, some examples of gifts that people have, serving, encouraging, showing mercy, giving. You can add to that list. And Paul's saying, everybody has gifts. Everybody has gifts. That's how you know if your dream is real and true. Second thing, this is huge. Look, this was the dream that really tipped off the brothers. And we get that. People will bow down before me. Your sheaves of grain will bow down to mine. Joseph didn't even know what that meant at the time. He was just relaying a dream. But by the end of the story, in Genesis chapter 45, we see this remarkable event that is the heart of our Thanksgiving. It's one of the best endings of every story I've ever read. It's the fulfillment of the promise. It's the heart of Thanksgiving. Joseph's brothers make a trip to Egypt because there is famine in Israel. There's famine in the land. They have no food to eat, so they have to go to Egypt. These are the same brothers that threw Joseph into a hole and sold him into slavery. They get to Egypt, they get to the palace, they walk in the palace, and there is the Pharaoh and the right-hand man of the Pharaoh, all dressed like an Egyptian. It's Joseph. But they don't even recognize him. Here's how the text puts it. If you have your Bibles open, you can follow along, verse 4. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." Chapter 45. And when they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one who sold you, sold into Egypt." And the brothers are like, our lives are over. Because now, justice will be done. And Joseph says, "Don't be distressed. Don't be angry with yourselves for selling me here." Can you understand what this next sentence even means? It was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you? You mean God had some sort of plan that started when Joseph was thrown into a hole? Is that what you're saying? See, Joseph, when he moved into the palace and Pharaoh said, "I want you as my brother," he stored food in these massive granaries because Joseph knew a famine was coming. For 2 years now, there's been famine in the land. For the next 5 years, there'll be no plowing or reaping, but God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and, listen, to save your lives by a great deliverance. What? Joseph's brothers make a trip to Egypt because there's famine in the land? And they walk into the palace to ask for help, and Joseph says, "Give you, and then I'll feed you." Look, the dream was never about Joseph. The dream you have for your life, if it's a God dream, it might surprise you to know that dream isn't really about your life. It's not. For Joseph, the dream was about the salvation of the people. It was about helping people who needed food to eat. It was about forgiving people. That was God's plan all along. And so here it is. Here's the promise that brings thanksgiving to a whole other level. God will give you a dream. And God will give me a dream. And God calls us into certain places for our own good. Yes, of course. But also so that we can be a blessing to the world. Look, God will watch over you, and that hovers over the whole Bible. And that is for our own good, and that's the heart of our thanksgiving. But this is also the heart of our thanksgiving. All through the Bible, he defends the cause of the orphan and the widow. He loves the homeless and the alien. This is God's dream, giving him food and clothing. Leviticus, love your neighbor as yourself. That's why Jesus quoted it all the time. He grew up learning, love your neighbor as yourself. Your people will be blessed, that they may be a blessing to the whole world. That's God's dream for you. I have heard the cries of an oppressed people, and now I call you to help them. That's the dream. If you have a dream for your life, and you think it's a real dream that fits with your gifts, it's not about you. I mean, yes, I will watch over you. There's nothing that can separate me from you ever. Of course God loves you. Of course God will always be with you. But the ultimate purpose is that you can go out into the world and do something. It's God's dream for you. It always has been. So what's your dream? Does it fit with what you're good at? Will it enable you to go out into the world and be a light and feed people? What's our dream for this church? I look around at people and I see the gifts that we have in this church. And I just want to ask you something, to do something. This is real simple. If you ever have any kind of vision and dream for this church that you think is from God, would you please share it with us? This church for 150 years has been living a God dream and been helping people here, but helping people outside. If you ever have something that you, don't hide it, don't be afraid, don't think, please tell us what it is. It's so important because it may just be part of a plan. It's been God's dream right from the beginning. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, this is the heart of it. We're glad that you're here today with us. Let's